Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The internet changes today in theory, but in practice? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Today, the Federal Communications Commission officially repeals Obama-era rules so that internet providers can have more leeway to give VIP service to their preferred business partners. Companies have promised not to degrade anyone's service, even if some services might get a fast lane someday. Marketplace's Justin Ho looked for any immediate effects.
Don't expect internet service providers to slow down your favorite services today.
Not unless the ISPs are heroically stupid.
Chad Marlowe is a lawyer with the ACLU, which supports net neutrality. He says companies know people would revolt if they did that.
The smarter course for them to take is to kind of slowly erode net neutrality protections in a way that will be less obvious.
For instance, internet companies might first offer deals to websites to make them run faster, or make certain sites not count against your data plan. Baron Soka of the Tech Freedom Think Tank says we'll see much faster development of 5G networks. He also says much of the current debate is misguided.
The sky's not going to fall because there is no market for blocking consumers from accessing the content they want to choose.
He says the Federal Trade Commission will still ensure fair access to the internet. That won't change after today. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Now, we asked my colleague, the host of Marketplace Tech, Molly Wood, to think beyond immediate effects of the end of network neutrality.
On the one hand, there's been encouraging data, you know, just last week from the federal government saying that the digital divide is closing. More older people and low-income households are getting internet access. But it's still pretty fragile. About 50 million homes in the U.S. have only one broadband provider, or actually none. A list came out Friday from the National Digital Inclusion Alliance of the least connected cities in the United States. And towns like Brownsville, Texas, Detroit, Shreveport, Louisiana, in these cities, a majority of citizens don't have any broadband access at home. Now, a lot of these people probably get internet access on their phones, but it is likely that wireless access is going to get more bundled and potentially more expensive without any regulations to guide it, because it's a more limited resource.
Molly, thank you. And later today on Marketplace, my colleague Kai Rizdal will be speaking with FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, a conversation about the end of net neutrality, the future of the internet, and the government's role in that future. And while so much attention is on G7 tweets and the U.S.-North Korea summit in Singapore, the U.S. government is borrowing a fortune. As it does, the U.S. announced some U.S. Treasury auctions for today and tomorrow. Now, it is the scale that's news. The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 2.96%. Julia Coronado is at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Hi there.
Good morning.
So the government says how much debt are we going to try to get people to buy?
It will be a total this week alone of almost $200 billion that the government wants to borrow from the markets.
It sounds like a lot, but is it a lot?
It is a lot, almost double what they have been auctioning off in recent years. So reflecting the tax cuts and the wider budget deficits, the money needs to come from somewhere. So they're asking markets to trust them and give them the money.
In a general environment where interest rates are going up, in fact, specifically later this week, right? The Fed is meeting.
That's right. The Fed is going to very likely raise interest rates on Wednesday. And we are watching whether they're going to signal that they're going to raise rates at a faster pace because the labor market's doing so well. So we're borrowing at a time when borrowing costs are rising.
Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
We recently heard from Tom in Basel, Switzerland, who wrote to tell us that he appreciates and trusts the way that Marketplace analyzes the economy without foolishness or bias and makes him think about issues in different ways. Now, if you agree with Tom, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to Tom and everyone who makes our work possible. Tomorrow's the big day for a proposed massive media merger, with a federal judge set to say yes or no to AT&T's $85 billion purchase of Time Warner. Now, Eric Gordon is a professor at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan with special expertise in this area of antitrust. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
All right. Help me write this story on the head of a pin, encapsulated. Should a big telephone, wireless, telecommunications company, AT&T, own that much content creation? Is that what this is about?
The crux of the government's case is that Time Warner, the other side of the business, has content that you have to have if you compete with AT&T. It has CNN, it has HBO, it has March Madness, it has lots of good sports. The contention is that somebody that owns content that the government alleges is must-have content for competitors of AT&T, that AT&T should not have control of that because it could do bad things to its own competitors.
It mirrors something that happened back in the day in Hollywood when the content creators, the studios, also owned the theater chains, the method of distribution, and the government swooped in. But of course, 2018, the media universe is a lot more diverse with digital.
Yeah, you know, so that's the argument on the other side. There are lots of channels of distribution. It isn't just like Fox and Paramount owning movie theaters when movie theaters were the main way you got your entertainment. Of course, every time you want to get away from precedents, you claim that this time it's different.
Any hint from what's happened in the recent past with mergers a bit like this about which way this might be going?
You know, this is a tough one because it's a vertical merger. But if you put this merger in the context of the sort of the skepticism about the power of anybody who has big distribution, whether it's somebody named, well, Facebook or Twitter, I think that the judge is going to have to consider the entire media landscape. And I think that works against the merger going through because we're starting to have reasons to worry about people having too much control of too much content.
And we'll see how the decision goes. Eric Gordon, a professor at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. Thanks.
My pleasure, David.
And shares of Britain's Rolls-Royce are down 0.7% now after the company said more of its jet engines for aircraft may be wearing out prematurely and need to be inspected. Separately, Rolls is expected to announce layoffs, thousands of them, this week. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.